Oh, Golden Raspberry, you elude me yet still once again. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt, Brett here today. Brett, you know of my never-ending quest to find the Golden Raspberry, right?
I still remember the 1 year where they made the clues impossible, and then they just hid it like a private business.
That's right.
Was that three years ago?
That was like 3 years ago, and that ever since then it's been back to normal. I don't know why they got so much blowback on
Golden Raspberry Gate over there.
It was. Now, I don't know who the jackass is that's writing these clues, but God, they're tough again. They're tough, but they're legit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out somewhere. They point you eventually into a direction. But I can't find it. I'm not happy about it.
What's the clue?
Okay, so today's clue, search for the golden raspberry is on. You're starting to get warm, but as you're carving out a path, tough clues have become the norm. Since most of Hopkins was once farms, that wouldn't be a clue. This year it's not in the grass, somewhere more urban, that'd be true. That narrows it down to pretty much any parking lot or, built-up area.
Since I bike through that area, I just hope I randomly run into it and win.
Oh,
after all this effort you've put into it.
Oh, that would be the worst. That would be the worst.
Oh, look what I found on my way home.
And you're going to make it like Flavor Flav. You're going to have a chain on. It's going to be around your neck. And it's right here, Matt. Every day. I've told you. Everyone's heard. I mean, I've been there multiple times. There was the 1 year my daughter said, go look at that tower, Dad, this electrical tower. Could it be there? I said, no, they wouldn't put it in there. It's electrical. But the electrical wasn't halfway up. That's where the medallion was. It was in there. There was the 1 year I actually touched it. It was in a bag on a tree in Buffer Park in Hopkins. And I put my hand there. Oh, that's just trash.
That's on you over there, yeah. Twice.
It's on me. It's on me. I've been...
touched the thing and you didn't win?
I didn't.
Come on.
Stop it. It hurts. It hurts on the inside. 952-946-6205. So far, it's not found. I just checked the website. No one's found it after day two.
Oh, they actually update this on the website.
Oh, yeah. When they find it, when someone... there's on it, I guess, there's a phone number on the medallion. And when you get it, you call it. And at that point, they'll put out the rest of the clues and say, we found the winner. We have the winner. So far, nothing. I got till Friday. Keeps me busy. Keeps
just
me sunburned.
Picturing someone locked in a room waiting for that phone to ring, like it's some secret society there.
That's what we do with Sam when he's not here. 952-946-6205. Did you see this? City Pages says, last Perkins store in Minneapolis is now closed. The last one in Minneapolis proper.
The restaurant? What?
Yeah. The Perkins. That was over on, it was over in Seward neighborhood on 94.
When have these all closed? I thought they were still around.
I think this is the one in Minneapolis proper.
Minneapolis proper. Yeah, I see these all over the place in the suburbs.
Well,
yeah.
They're around in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I can tell you when the downfall of Perkins began. It was when I was a kid. I went to Edina High School.
Indeed, although we deny it every chance we get, McNeil.
I went to Edina High School, and I graduated in 86. So, yeah, Edina in the Reagan 80s. Yeah, magnificent. You wonder how I got this way. Anywho, we used to go to the Perkins on 50th and France and Highway 100 there. Or not 50th and France, 50th and Highway 100. There's Perkins up there. They have that huge flag. It's a huge flag just south of St. Louis Park. When we were kids, in high school, that's where you'd go. And you go hang out, and... you go in there and you'd order a plate of fries. And you'd order a plate of fries at Perkins. And they would bring you this freaking mountain of fries. It was great. And then it happened. One day we went in there, ordered some food with some fries, and we got like 12 fries with the food. And we said, and we were like, hey buddy, because we all know who the servers were. What happened to the fries?
Well, they put in a new corporate policy, and we have to really limit this. We're not going to be giving out too much more, so that's what you get now.
Well, goodbye. That was the end. We took off from there. We didn't go back that anymore. We went to other places, and I'm dead serious. It was the value of the fry. Now it wasn't. Do you remember Nora's when Nora's were around? Noras.
No, that one doesn't ring a bell for me.
Oh, my God. That was just, it was a place where you could go to find an elderly woman in curlers eating a hot dog, drinking a cup of coffee, and smoking at the same time. It was just a magnificent restaurant. You could go get a beer there, and so you'd sit down.
Well, That's classic.
It was. But you get this. They had a good meatloaf. I'd get the meatloaf, and you'd sit down. And it was this, you know. It was, and of course, the gravy's like canned gravy and stuff like this. But you could get a beer with it, and of course, everyone half the place is smoking. And so it's hard to imagine why that place went out of business. But it was the kind of place where there was a 4 o'clock rush. I mean, there was a big 4 o'clock rush in that place of elderly people getting their hot dogs with a cup of coffee. Oh, I couldn't have a beer now. I'd be asleep by 5. I just have the coffee. That keeps me going until I get to 7:30. And after I watch the first part of that TV show, I'm going to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Matlock.
Oh, there you go. Or Town Talk. Do you remember when Town Talk, were you ever in the old original Town Talk diner that was over on Lake Street?
No, not that one either.
Oh, God. I went to school there. That was back when Brown was the Brown University Broadcasting School was it was kind of a demilitarized zone over there.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yeah. See, yeah. I went to it when it was in Mendota Heights.
Suburban sissy. Yeah. We had the Poodle Club across the street.
I've heard stories about that location.
Club, if you thought Nora's was good with the meatloaf and beer, how about breakfast with their biscuits and gravy? I don't know. With a beer. And you get it. There you go. That was breakfast there at the Poodle Club. That's long gone. Hard to believe. But Town Talk, you'd go in that place, and it was all these South Minneapolis Swedes and the Norwegians. And they'd come in, and they had bar seating in one booth. And we'd always grab the booth, and a bunch of old guys would come in their flannel. Even in the heart of summer, they'd be wearing their flannel. They'd come on in, sit down. They'd have walleye and eggs, because you could get walleye and eggs there. And they have their walleye and eggs, and then they'd head back out into the South Minneapolis neighborhood. And it was kind of surreal. Some sort of Gothic Norwegian movie or something like that. You know, it's like, does this mean something? Is this time? Am I actually alive at this point? There have been a few good classic places. They just don't exist anymore. But I mean, Perkins, this was more self-induced. Give me more fries, man.
Well, you saw what happened to Old Country Buffet.
Well,
you
have the OCB, man. Oh, God. Oh, is that cheese in the chocolate fountain? Delicious. Delicious. Nacho cheese and chocolate fountains. That's hard to believe that business didn't survive. God. I mean, you remember there was the OCB that was out on 101 and 7 in the old High 7 mall that used to be out there? Oh, God. Yikes. No, of your is Perkins does. You're right though. They do well in the suburbs.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they're in a lot of places over in the suburbs.
Yeah, they're suburbs. They're still around. They're not going to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
kind of like a souped down Applebee's kind of.
Wow. You think anything I say is cold? I want you to play that back from Brett.
Well, I don't.
A souped down Applebee's. Dear God, man.
I don't think we're going to be getting those two to advertise with us.
Did we just blow the big Perkins contract? Oh, no. Hey, you guys do okay. I do like they got good bakery stuff. They occasionally go over and get the muffins or something like that. Now,
at Applebee's or Perkins?
Not Applebee's, for God's sakes, man. I love my children. What are you talking about? Yeah, we lost all those clients. So, turning to a more serious note, I want to touch on one thing from yesterday's show. I talked about my son who he had his wisdom teeth removed yesterday. And so we went through all the stuff. And once again, here we are for the second time. I had my hernia surgery last year. And here we are getting wisdom teeth out, and they just give me here's your prescription for opiates. It's like, you're giving out a prescription for opiates? And when I had my hernia surgery, the nurse actually kind of berated me. It's like, why wouldn't you want this? And it's like, I don't know, dead people. How about that? Addiction. You know, the lies of the pharmaceutical industry to get people addicted to opiates. How about we start there? And why are you being their pusher, for God's sakes? Stop it. Well, once again, yesterday we had the case where he had the prescription, and the nurse gives him the prescription. I said, why do we need this? And she said two things which really kind of set me off. She said, one, well, you don't need to fill this prescription. Then why are you giving it to me? Why are if it's an optional prescription, why are you giving it to me? That doesn't make any sense. And then she makes the comment, well, you can take the heavy-duty ibuprofen. It's like a 600 milligram ibuprofen. It's a heavy duty one. You can take the heavy duty ibuprofen with some Tylenol and basically gives you the same pain relieving effect of an opiate. Then why aren't you prescribing that? Why don't you, because, okay, don't get me wrong, I guarantee you there probably are some people who've become addicted to ibuprofen and to Tylenol, but it's probably far, far less than people that are addicted to opiates. Yeah, well, one woman came after me and she goes, I have chronic pain problems, this is what works. Okay, all my best. First of all, I would say this, we used to manage pain prior to opiates. And I this idea that opiates are the only option on the table really infuriates me because it just shows me the medical industry are the ones that are addicted to the opiates. But fine, okay, you have an established health issue, and you've got you've tried things, and the opiates are the only ones that work. Okay, fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my kid getting out his wisdom teeth. I'm talking about myself getting a hernia operation. That's not chronic problems. The first line of medicine shouldn't be the opiates. Especially when they tell you, oh yeah, the ibuprofen and the Tylenol will pretty much give you the same effect. Then why aren't you just saying that? I mean, the longer we jerk around with this horrible, horrible drug that is addictive on a lot of different levels. And as long as we don't treat this as serious, I mean, would we prescribe meth? Never. Will we prescribe crack? Never. But God, opiates are just as bad, aren't they? And we can't shovel them into patients' mouths fast enough. Oh, Matt, we have rules. We can only prescribe so many. We can only do this. I don't care. What are you giving any for? I said this before when we did the drug seminar for school sports. When I was a kid, when you did that, what were the things that they mentioned? They mentioned, marijuana, cigarettes, alcohol, and maybe you got cocaine. You know what it is today? Opiates. Opiates, opiates, opiates. And they tell you, if you can tell your doctor you want something besides them if they get injured, especially sports injuries. Because there's a lot of dead 19, 20-year-olds who had a sports injury and they went and got opiates and they got addicted. Kids that never had any drug problems in their lives. And they're dead. So if there is what I would consider the rare circumstance where a chronic pain issue is nothing else works, fine. But that is not, oh, here's your wisdom teeth out, here's a prescription, here's a hernia, here's your prescription. Oh, you stubbed your toe, here's a prescription. And when you say, what are you doing giving me this, having the nurse look at you and say, why don't you want it? Come on, it's what all the cool kids are doing. Really? Whoa, well, she didn't say that. But still, it was kind of in that vein. You weren't too far down the street from that. I think the people that have the biggest addiction to opiates at this point are the medical industry itself. What did we used to do before opiates? Let's go back to that. Because I don't remember... I mean, we might have had some problems, but I don't remember anything like what we've got now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A lot to get to today as well. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You know what's cool? Summer is cool. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning also thinks it's cool, too. Well, be cool in the summer. That's why Standard is giving you $900 in savings on a ductless unit or air conditioning system now through the end of July. Just imagine having reliable cooling comfort all summer long for years to come. So contact Standard or go to standardheatingdeals.com to learn how you can save $900 on a new AC system. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's so amazing when two of your favorite things come together, like the new Toyota RAV4 having a hybrid version. Stylish, energy efficient, and tough, you can't find a better combination. A showstopper interior with intuitive technology, the look which gets you noticed, and the durability for all types of driving. And the RAV4 hybrid received the NHTSA 5-star overall safety rating. Test drive one today. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetime. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
It wasn't a bad beer at Norris. It wasn't.
Actually, had some like locally brewed craft beer there.
I think it was Grain Belt.
Oh, okay.
I think it was just Grain Belt.
Still not bad.
That's not bad beer at all. And it was big, a chunk of meatloaf with the gravy and the potatoes, and that was like, it was like an old sit down restaurant with a beer, because you can find those, a lot of those places, but you generally couldn't find them with a beer. And that's that was the nice thing about Nora's. And of course, the obscene amount of cigarette smoke.
Hunter's behind me. That sounds like his type of place.
Does it, Derek? Nora's, yeah. Yeah. 952-946-6205. Okay, first of things, I need to make sure I talk to all the media here in town, considering Ilhan Omar is one of the congresswomen who is getting attacked by the large orange garbage pile that is the president of the United States. It's racist. It's racist. NPR, I'm specifically looking at you. NPR, I'm looking at you. It's racist. Him saying, go back to your country, your country. That's racist. This insane level of twisting and turning to try to not call what Donald Trump has said, what it actually is, racist, is getting absolutely bonkers from the media. And I understand KSTP in town. I get it. You're basically the Republican station, and you're always going to try to find ways to tone things down. I understand that. I expect that from you. But the rest of you guys, your media, it's racist. Some accuse it of being racist. No, that's an out. It's racist. Star Tribune, Care 11, Channel 4, Channel 9, Pioneer Press, which is, you know, kind of the growth of the Star Tribune. You guys, come on. It's racist. Call it racist. Ilhan Omar is getting attacked by a racist comment from the president of the United States. And that's just that. And anyone, how are you guys this bad at this? Seriously, how are you this bad at just saying, oh yeah, it's racist? I guarantee you, I mean, once again, I want to point out, when Ilhan Omar was accused of what she was accused of, when they edited down that speech of hers to try to make her look as bad as possible, you ran with it, and you accused her of being anti-Semitic. You accused her of being anti-Israel, even though it was a fraudulent audio clip that you were using to criticize her. And you had no problem doing that. All of you did that, gleefully running to any Democrat you said, saying, do you condemn Ilhan Omar? Y'all did. Y'all did. Y'all. You all did. You just did. And here you are with Is the sky blue? Yes. Is the sun bright? Is water wet? Is snow cold? Yes, 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 yes. Is what Donald Trump said racist? Yes, yes, it is. Yes, 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 yes. It's racist. CNN, CBS, they have said it's racist. But here you are, when one of your own Congress people is getting attacked by a racist comment, and you willikers, I don't want to make the, there's an advertiser out there who might pull their advertising if I say racist, so I'll just kind of play it off. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. Just call it what it is. Go after this with one-tenth of the intensity you go after Ilhan Omar or Keith Ellison anytime a story comes up against one of them. Just one-tenth. Instead, you guys are, you're pathetic. For God's sakes, how do you write a headline that doesn't say Trump's racist tweet? Done. Well, some people say in the third moon of Neptune, and if it's in July and there's a breeze and it's sunny outside and the groundhog sees its shadow, some people say it could be construed as racist. No, stop it. You're embarrassing yourselves. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, I really don't like when this joker attacks my congresswoman. I support her in the primaries. I support most of our policies, rebuilding the middle class in this country, going after the greedy system of health care and all of it, and the Green New Deal. And when he attacks her, he attacks me and her supporters. And you know what? What we hate about, when we're in the right mood, what we hate about this country, what Trump and his fellow people are doing to our country and to us.
Well, and thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. Trump is a racist pig. He was a racist pig. He was a racist pig before he became president. He spent the Obama administration claiming he was here illegally because he was a black man. His opening salvo in his presidential campaign was to talk about Mexicans, the worst, the rapists, the criminals. That's all that's coming across the border. He's got concentration camps. He is a notoriously horrible human being. He's a racist. And by the way, if you've not seen this, Now This, which is a news site which puts out video clips of news, and it's actually quite good. Now This put out a clip of all the people they could find screaming, "Go back home. Go back to your blank where you came from. Go back there." They put together a video clip of all these people screaming that. If that doesn't put it in perspective, media in town here, go watch that. Go watch that Now This video and tell me after you see that what he said is not racist. Of course it's racist. But that is who he is. He is a racist. And which is interesting because I think that they now know how that in an effort to cover up other stories, he went down this racist path, and now he's realizing I went too far. And so their argument now is not, I shouldn't have said that, but these four congresswomen are pro-terrorist, anti-USA. You know, no, they're not. They're sitting congresswomen. I would believe that they're pro-USA. And this anti-terrorist stuff, once again, race baiting, again. It's just, you're a horrible human being. And if you endorse Trump at this point, the best you can say about yourself is that you might not be racist, but you're giving a big, warm, welcoming hug to racism. And that's the best you can say about yourself. You can say, oh, I'm not racist. I mean, some of you, give it up. Finally, some of you guys, come on, come to the light. Say, I'm racist. There you go. We understand why you're following Trump. But for your people out there, you kind of browbeaten Republicans who basically, you know, started voting Republican because you used to believe with the, you know, socially conservative or socially liberal, fiscally conservative Republicans of the 80s who are sitting there and I'm just to vote for a Democrat. And you're going along with them. The best you can say about yourself is you're giving a nice, warm, welcoming hug to racism. That's you hugging racism. And it's wearing off on you. It is. It's just, it's, and then, by the way, I don't know if you saw Liz Cheney. That, once again, and you know, and specifically if I can mention Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney comes on out, not only defends these, you know, the Trump's comments, but basically, you know, reiterates them, calls the four congresswomen he's attacked as the real racists, which, by the way, textbook Republican playbook. You accuse your opponent of being exactly what you are. So if there's if you need any more validation that when Trump screams they're the racist, or Liz Cheney screams they're the racist, that is Rovian politics 101. You accuse your opponent of your biggest fault. That is them admitting they're racist. But Liz Cheney comes on out and she attacks these people as well. Can I just make this point about Liz Cheney specifically? Because she comes from Wyoming. I am not a guy that is, I don't generally call for boycotts. I don't. I think a lot of times it's counterproductive. But I will say this. Wyoming, the reason why Liz Cheney is backing up Trump as strongly as she is because she knows the majority of people in Wyoming are racist just like her and Trump. And so she doesn't have any problem going on out there and being this racist because she knows it endears herself to her constituents, which then leads to the question, why is anyone going on vacation to Wyoming? And you can look at it. I can understand why someone's saying, well, you're trying to get a boycott of Wyoming. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of other states that are not racist like that. I went to South Dakota. South Dakota, I mean, it's conservative, but it's not racist. At least I didn't run into a lot of racists. I mean, a few people out on the far western side, but it wasn't that bad. Colorado, you like big square states? Go to Colorado. Dope's legit there. Come on, man. You can go smoke dope in Colorado. And they're far more liberal down there. So pretty much anything you can do in Wyoming, you can do in Colorado with human beings around you. How about that? I'm just saying. People are not going to change unless they are forced to change. And especially an absolute disgusting, you know, butt wart that is like Liz Cheney. So, you know, if all of a sudden everyone stopped going to Wyoming for tourism because it seems like that state's just full of racists, well, maybe the Wyoming Tourism Board might give her a call and say, you know, can you shut up? Can you just shut up for a little while? Can you just shut the hell up? And maybe she will. Probably won't. Why? Well, she's a Cheney. An idiot is just kind of synonymous. Evil, horrible human being. That equals Cheney. 952-946-6205. Hold on, Phil. I'll get your call after the break. 952-9205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Hi, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Taking prescription medication should not be a scary task. The staff at St. Paul Corner Drug makes certain you know everything about your prescription medication before you leave the pharmacy. Knowing what to expect and when and how to take your prescriptions gives you the confidence to safely take your medication and maintain good health. Should additional questions arise, we are here to help sort things out. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be, at stpaulcornerdrug.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hazel's Northeast is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic food there. And by the way, vegetarian friends, I've been talking about all these places with the beer and the meatloaf and stuff. Try their vegetarian options. Their butternut ravioli, butternut squash ravioli is very tasty. They've got a very good falafel burger. And also their crepes are delicious. Very tasty. Hazel's Northeast, 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. More at eatlocalminnesota.com. You see that? Finally get that now, this video?
I did, yeah.
I'm not lying, man. It shows you, you know, and if you basically put that, you know, Trump, what Trump said next to that, absolutely. It's racist as all day long. 952-946-6205. Phil is in New York. Phil, thank you very much for holding. Welcome on in.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Yes, Trump is a racist. And most people don't realize that his racism goes way back. In the 70s, him and his father built apartment complexes. And if you were African-American, they would put the letter C for colored on the application, and they would deny them the ability to rent or buy. So much so that the Nixon administration, the Justice Department, successfully sued Trump and his father for $25 million for housing discrimination.
And not yet. His history has been one that has definitely been, you know, intertwined with racism, which is why when I was like, when the election of 2016 was going on, and this is like, I initially said, oh, this guy's not going to last because he's a joke. But the reality is he knew exactly who he was talking to within the Republican Party. He knew exactly that Fox News and the rest of them had turned Hillary Clinton into this, you know, demagogue, evil villain, that as long as he basically just kept hammering on her, that they would stay with him. And he knew, you know, and to a point he knew it was going to be close. He had help from the Russians. And there was a lot of things that were going on there that kind of got him that point. But I kept screaming, it's like, how in the hell is the Republican Party not kicking this guy out? And now how many Republicans are defending his defensible, you know, racism? It's amazing.
Now that's because deep down they're racist.
Or they're trying to appeal to the racists. They know that they can't lose that voting block, because if the racists don't vote Republican, and thanks, Phil, I appreciate the phone call. If the racists do not vote Republican, they will lose almost every seat in the country. And they know it. I mean, the ugly reality, what the last 20 years of this country has shown us, is that if you had this idea that racism was something we were dealing with, we were getting more, we're seeing it more. And we have moments on television, stuff like that, where we try to help. The reality is there is an insane amount of racism still left in this country. There really is. And as a white guy who, you know, graduated at Dinah High School, it took me a while to finally see it. But you know what? I see it, and it's like undeniable. It's undeniable. And you see what Trump's doing with these four congresswomen. There's no other word for it. It's racist. It is absolutely racist. And I know, and the media going on out there, and the, you know, part of the problem that we have, that we can't start solving this problem, is we have a media that tries their hardest to make excuses. Well, that's your point of view, Matt. No. Is the sun bright? Yes. Is that racist? Yes. You're arguing factual statements to try to defend Trump, and you're the news media, for God's sakes. Stop doing that. That's not your job. We have
people that, and do not underestimate the rise of this far right media that giddily danced within the lines of racism to try and sexism and misogyny and anti-Semitism and all these things, you know, anti-GLBTQ rights, anti, you know, Native American, anti-Latino. They danced within all these lines because they knew that there were people out there that, you know, that existed and they wanted to give them a voice. And the problem is they did. And a lot of Democrats did not, you know, take it seriously. We have a racist. This guy is as bad as any slave owner, past president we've had. He's more horrible than guys like Andrew Johnson, Andrew Jackson. You know, he's just a horrible, horrible human being. And he became president because the racists felt like their messiah showed up. They're not going to turn. I mean, the real true racists are not going to turn on him because this is the most validity they've had in 120 years. This is the great white hope, quite literally. And I mean, they're thinking at some point, well, are we going to have a Klan rally on the White House lawn? Will there be a burning cross out there? I mean, that's kind of what they want. And Trump, if he gets desperate enough, will do it. He will do it. And then we'll have the media saying, well, that's kind of an interesting campfire configuration you got there, Mr. President, to try to give him an excuse. We have a heck of a lot of problems with racism in this country. Racism is not right. It is not good. The shame that all Republicans should have for not condemning this, for going along with this, because you believe in Reagan's 11th commandment more than decency and humanity. That you stay with Trump even though he is not Christian. He is not a decent human being. And he does not represent the Republican Party that I used to know. It's not even close. But yet, because you guys are betrothed to that clown car, you basically have decided let's jam it all in there and we'll sing some racist songs as we head to the next step. We have to make these people feel shame. The only way we have to do this. We have to do this. All these self-obsessed fools in this country, and this is not the racist. This is the group of people who sit out elections. The self-obsessed, the Instagram generation, the people that are more concerned about taking 500 pictures of themselves every day and finding one picture that they can edit for 3 hours to post online to make it look spontaneous. If we don't get to those people and make them realize that the world does exist outside of their Instagram account or their Twitter feed or their Facebook account or their Snapchat account. If we do not get to these people and make them realize, for God's sakes, there is more on the table. And if we do not look at, not the racists, the racists are the racists and, you know, the hell with them. But if we don't look at these Republicans who aren't racist, but are giving racism a warm hug, and we don't look at them and criticize them and label them as that to try to get them to wake up from their own freaking reality. You don't have to vote for the Democrat. Just don't vote for Trump. Then we can't save this country. I still think that there is a very legitimate chance that some probably Russian will, maybe Israeli, you know, I don't know, we'll try to take a shot at a Democratic presidential nominee if it looks like Trump's about to lose. I'm terrified of that, if you want to know the truth, especially 2 or 3 weeks before the election. I honestly could see, that's who this guy is. Probably would know all about it too. He probably would. What am I supposed to do? He'll probably go on TV and say, won't someone of my international friends shoot this person? And then when someone does, say, whoa, what makes you think I was involved? And all of his Randy and Coon Rapids supporters will be like, Matt, just because he asked for someone to do it doesn't mean he wanted him to do it. Come on, Matt, use your brain, duh. Please. We have to wake up from all this. We have to wake up from all this. And that means basically taking the shame of America, its long history of racism, and putting it back in the cabinet that Trump allowed it to come out of. Please. 952-946-6205. I wanted to make sure I mention as well, there's a public response. Minneapolis mayor and community members, ICE confirmed that arrested a man in Minneapolis Monday morning. The incident was described in a Facebook post Monday morning from the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee, or MIRAC. They said that at about 7:20 a.m., they received notice that ICE was outside of a home in the area of 42nd Avenue and Portland Avenue South. When they arrived, they wrote that they witnessed two black SUVs and a pickup surrounding a car. According to MIRAC, ICE officers broke the back window of the car to reach in and unlock the doors, pulling the man out of the car and detaining him. The Facebook post showing photos of the broken window has been shared 10,000 times and counting. Sean Newdotter, a public affairs officer with ICE, boo, confirmed the officers arrested 38-year-old man from El Salvador after a lawful vehicle stop. Lawful? Including busting open a window? He said the man was an immigration fugitive who had previously misdemeanor conviction in Hennepin County in 2007. He was previously deported in 2009. According to Newdower, the man was uncooperative, refusing to exit his vehicle or follow lawfully issued police commands. Gee, I wonder why, brown shirt. After 15 minutes of negotiation, Newdower said they left with no choice to remove him from the vehicle. The ACLU says the ICE can indeed pull a car over if agents have a reasonable suspicion that someone inside the car is violating immigration. Care 11 said they did have a warrant for the man. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey said his official Twitter account that he heard about the incident in the social media. He said Minneapolis police were not present. They were not contacted. The chief and I have and will again reaffirm our commitment to standing with our immigrant communities, he wrote. Know that Minneapolis Police Department have not and will not cooperate with any such activity and are prohibited from taking action or to detect or apprehend based solely on immigration status. How did we not know about the warrant? I mean, there's got to be a way for us to find out if a warrant's been issued. There probably is a database on something like that. And we could determine if they're targeting people in Minneapolis. I don't know. Needless to say, here you go. Busting open some guy's window. Haul him out of there. Yeah, that's America. Geez, where does that sound like? It sounds a little like, 1936 Berlin, when there was someone that they wanted to round up, that they would, bust in their windows and drag them out of their house or drag them out of their car and chuck them into a vehicle and haul them away. Yeah. Gee willikers. Happening in America, people. Let's go quickly. Dan in Hopkins. Dan, welcome on in.
Hey, thanks. Could you kind of share with me, I know you've accused the president of being racist. And
no, I'm not accusing. No. I'm not accusing. He's racist. Trump is racist.
Can you share with us how specifically?
Well, when you use racist tropes like, go back home, to your native country.
Why is that racist?
Because it's been used for historically to basically by white majority to dismiss the minority from this country. Dan, no, don't get rid of him. Get rid of this jackass. Doesn't make any sense. Dan, with all due respect, from what I just heard you say, you sound like a racist too. Come on, man. Just telling the minority group they have to leave and have to get out of here. When's that racist? When did that become racist, Matt? It's always been racist, you idiot! Dan! It's always been racist. And because you're trying to be, it's clever wordsmith guy. Ooh, it's time for clever. How? Can you explain? I need you to do it. I did. But shut up and go away. Why don't you go back to your country that you came from, where grandpa and grandma came from, Germany or Sweden or... Dan, why don't you get away from here? How's that feel, Dan? Why don't you go? Dan, get out of here. Go. You seem to be at the very least, embracing racist tendencies, which is a horrible thing. So, Dan and Hopkins, go. Get out of here. Go back to your home country. Get out of my country. You're ruining America, you horrible person. Go. How's it feel, Dan? Not that good? Gee willikers, I wonder why. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, everybody out there at AM 950 Radio Land. This is your host, Paul Metza of the Wall of Power Radio Hour. This weekend, we feature a great songwriter, originally from Iowa, but Minneapolis in it for a long time now. Mr. Doug Collins has a new record out called Good Sad News. We play several tracks off the record. Talk to Doug about his recent trip to Spain, songwriting influences, and more. Wall of Power Radio Hour, Saturday at 6 on AM 950.
Racial tension is popping up in unexpected places, but it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe we can reduce the awkwardness and the tension. What can we do? Join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska on Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. for a one-hour talk with Jamila Anderson, a nationwide diversity trainer and teacher. Her presentation, Empathy and Equity, provides valuable tools for those who want to de-escalate the tension in any conversation, like in the Chaska School District. This is part of the Tuesday Dialogue Series at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. The Big Red Rockers out front, 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by Residents Organized Against Racism and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
Sitka Salmon Shares was created 7 years ago for the Midwesterner wanting better seafood. Here's how it works. First, visit sitkasalmonshares.com and enroll in a membership fit for you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Then our fishermen in Southeast Alaska catch your share, fillet, and blast freeze with care and send them to your front door, all with delicious recipes. It's that simple. Enroll now at sitkasalmonshares.com and use code AM950 for $25 off.
Brett said this during the break, and he's exactly right. You're exactly right, Brett. This is a case where Trump has put these people in a horrible spot. They want to still support him, but so they, what is the argument? Well, what he said really wasn't racist. No, it was horribly racist. It was racist. It was racist. Absolutely. We used to have people who said to the Irish, go back to Ireland. They used to say to the Germans, go back to Germany. They used to say to the Italians, go back to Italy. That was it's a historically identified trope. It's racism. It's bigotry. It's what it is. And you just not wanting it to be racist doesn't mean it's not racist. Now, Dan, I personally believe in a wide idea, but I do not tolerate racism. And I'm not going to tolerate someone who basically tries to come on my show and argue that you need to explain it. And when I do, on the fly, pretty damn clearly, what do? No, it is. If you support Trump, the best you can say about yourself is you're giving racism a warm, big hug. That's the best thing you can say about yourself. The reality is, you're racist. It's one of the two. It's only one of the two. And you can sit there and try your hardest to say, well, they're bad people. No, they're not. It's just you're racist and you're trying to validate it. Or it really wasn't racist. No, it was racist and you're trying to validate it. Jeff is in Prior Lake. Let's get Jeff on in here. Jeff in Prior Lake, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Hey, Matt, great show. You're absolutely correct. Disappointed with Dan. And if you take a look at Trump's tagline, it wasn't keep America great. It wasn't make America greater. It was make America great again. And then he proceeded to totally bash everything about the country. Then he ascended to the presidency. President Trump was born in the United States like those other three legislators. I never heard anybody ever tell Trump to go home when he was criticizing the United States on his way to ascending to the presidency.
And you're right. And they did not take – and thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. No, they did not do what they needed to do, which is when you have someone who's out there defending racism, making racist statements, you have to go and punch back. You know, think about, I mean, and that's the part, is that the people that think that this sort of thing is okay are the people who honestly feel as if that there's no way in the world they'd ever tell me to go back home. There's no way they'd tell me to do this. Please. I've been watching the history of World War I. It's a documentary on Amazon. And the one thing that people don't seem to understand about how World War I got started is it went from July of 1914 to August, September of 1914, and the entire world freaking imploded in 3 months. Absolutely went crazy. And there are some things that set that up, but it went from relative peace over most of the world to war in months, and bad, ugly war too. This stuff can change in a heartbeat. And the thing is you, if you're arrogant enough to believe that you will always be part of the persecuting class, not the persecuted, then you believe, well, he didn't say anything wrong. Well, then how does it feel when someone puts that back on you? Well, no one would do it. Well, I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, how did it feel? Well, it doesn't feel that good. No, does it? Does it? It doesn't feel that good. And that's probably what you're, and here's the sad thing is, it's probably what your ancestors went through when they got here. They were probably told to get back on the boat and go back home. We don't need you here. And instead of learning the lesson of we should be more of a melting pot and more welcoming, you seem to be doubling down, man. Stop it. Fred is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Fred. Thank you very much for holding.
Oh, hi. I just, I'm a pretty old guy, but I've met hundreds of racists, and people drop the N-word all the time, and I've yet to hear a person admit that they're a racist.
No, they don't.
Nobody does.
No, Fred, you're exactly right. No racist will say, you know what, I'm the racist. They think that they always think, what's the line? They always think they're the hero of their story.
They're always keeping it real.
Yes. I'm just being honest.
What everybody else is thinking.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. Yep.
Yeah, that's, I'm just being honest. Now, Fred, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Did he nail it? Yeah. It's real talk.
No racist is going to, the guys that are in the sheets with the burning cross, they kind of the gig's up at that point. You got to think that, yeah, what are we doing? Oh, okay. And the guys that are in Charlottesville walking with the tiki torches. But a guy calling in and saying, that wasn't racist, man. Would you ever acknowledge he did say something racist? Would you? If Trump came on out and had a burning cross on the White House lawn, would you ever say that that was racist? And if you wouldn't ever say that was racist, then you basically at that point are acknowledging, no, there's nothing that this guy can do that I will look on him in a negative light. Trump is a horrible racist. That's not me making up an opinion. That's me hearing him. That's me seeing him. He's also an idiot. Reminder, he stared at an eclipse. No, he's a racist. He has a long history of racism. He has been proven in court to be a racist. He's also a horrible misogynist, and he's got a lot of sexual assaults he has to answer for. But he's a racist, and you wanting to scream, no, he's not, doesn't invalidate reality. And, I can't help you. I can't help you. If you look at that racist comment that jackass made, and you can't say that's racist, I can't help you, and no one can. Good luck with that. Good luck with all of that. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.